It's the Afternoon Delight here on ESPN Pittsburgh. We're presented by Dunkin'. Pittsburgh runs on Dunkin'. To the phone lines we go. One of our real friends, friends of the show, friend in real life. It's my buddy Chris Carter, kind enough to join us here on Mondays to discuss everything happening with the Steelers and around the National Football League. Chris, there's plenty that I want to discuss today as it relates to J.J. Watt. As it relate, we'll do our weekly Ben Roethlisberger heat check here. Before we get into all that, I did want to ask you maybe a bigger picture NFL draft question, Chris. And
sure.
I feel like we hear this time every year. I heard Colin Cowherd talking about it today. I heard Mike Greenberg talking about it today. So Fox Sports and ESPN, this, oh man, it's such a good quarterback year for the draft. If you're a team who needs a quarterback, you got to be aggressive. You can't stand pat. You can't stand by. You got to make a move. You can't let this quarterback draft pass you by because who knows what's coming out next year. Like, Chris, we do this. We manufacture this quarterback rat race all the time. Like, all these people were high on Mac Jones and Kyle Trask and Trey Lance all of a sudden for the whole year. Like, we didn't just have Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow come out last year and Kyler Murray the year before. Like, am I wrong here, or is it like I hear this every year and I just roll my eyes? Like, it's the quarterback position, man. More and more kids are playing quarterback every day. Like, it's not like what's happening with offensive tackles and offensive linemen where a lot of those guys are becoming pass rushers and you're seeing the disparity now. Like, everybody still wants to play quarterback, man. It's the stud position in all of sports. Like, how, none of us knew that Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson would be on the open market this time last year. I feel like we hear that every time around, you know, once we get close to combine draft time, oh man, if you need a quarterback, you better be aggressive. Don't get left behind. Don't get left behind. And then somebody reaches for Mac Jones.
Right. I mean, you remember the Josh Rosen hype, now he was the smartest of his quarterback
class. Right.
You'd be so great to pick him if you were in the top 15, and now he's not even on a team anymore. And it's like, come on, guys. And again, you look at from 2009 to 2016, not a single player who was drafted, or not a single quarterback who was drafted in the first round is still with their team from those NFL drafts. Cool. And something I even thought about, not a single quarterback who was drafted in the first round outside of Patrick Mahomes. There's only one quarterback who was drafted in the first round that actually won a Super Bowl for their team. And you know, from now to from 2009, and then the next guy would be Joe Flacco. But when you look back and you like, come on, man, like there are, we get it. Quarterback is an important position, but it's not the only position that matters. And in fact, most of the teams that win Super Bowls aren't just because they have a great quarterback, unless you have the best quarterback, which is why Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have been where they've been. But you look at Tom Brady this year. Tom Brady won because of the defense that was built around him and how many offensive weapons that he had and how balanced that their team was. You know, you look at Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson won his Super Bowl because their defense was elite and they balanced it with a great running back. Peyton Manning, he won it with the Broncos. They had an elite defense and an offense that did just enough with him at the most limited point of his career, and they were able to win. So many teams, it's about balancing your team. And the quarterback is important. There's no doubt about that. But reaching for a quarterback just to reach for a quarterback is a mistake. It's just why reaching for any position is a mistake. It's what you and I talked about on the Locked On Steelers podcast just last week. Best player available is the way to live by. If you go for I was just talking with somebody about this on Twitter. You know, I'm not here to go for the eighth or ninth offensive tackle on the board when the number one running back or the number two linebacker or anybody that's a first round grade is still available just because the Steelers need an offensive tackle. You know, I'm waiting on center. You know, if the center positions where I'd say, like, you know what, if the guy falls to you in the second or third round, that's where you go get it. But you're not rushing to get any of those centers this year. None of them are Marquise Pounceys, you know, so a lot of them might be, you know, really good guys that you can depend on for you know, most of the next decade. But, you know, it's just, again, it's about evaluating talent, knowing who's where and who brings what to your team. And quarterback's the same way. I know it's the sexier pick, and that's why every year we talk about doing this. But how many times have teams busted on a quarterback horribly? And traded up to do so. I mean, Mitch Trubisky, they traded up to get Mitch Trubisky, and look where that's at.
Without a doubt, Chris, spoken very well there. And, you know, even when you get the quarterback, look at Seattle, look at Houston. They're not in great situations either. Yeah, I think that's well said by you, our buddy Chris Carter of DK Pittsburgh Sports and the Locked On Steelers podcast with us here on 970 ESPN. All right, Chris, it's time. Our weekly Ben Roethlisberger heat check. We still continue to wait and wait and wait and wait some more. How you feeling about this? Are you still feeling that it's inevitable that it gets done? Or, you know, I feel like I've asked you this same thing the last couple weeks, but the longer and longer this plays out, man, it really seems like that whole, like, I don't care about my pay this year and I'll play for free and all that stuff was kind of hogwash, and that it is clear that what they're going to do with his contract and what that means for him money-wise and what that means for the Steelers cap-wise is still a significant hurdle that both sides have to clear.
Well, so I think there was one thing here. Ben didn't actually say he'll take nothing this year. He just said, I don't care about my salary, in the sense that I think he's willing to negotiate whatever he's got to keep it down. I do think that Ben Roethlisberger is not going to take a pay cut, but you can still give the Steelers a huge break in the salary cap just with an agreement. Dan Graziano broke this down for ESPN. He said if they do the whole four-year extension thing with the contract voiding after 2021, they could clear as much as $14 million in cap space to the Steelers this year. And, yes, that would become due next year for them, but that's something that I think they'd be willing to say, you know what, we'll take that one on the chin just to buy us more time to figure out what we're actually doing at the quarterback position moving forward. You know, it's again – I look at this. This comes down to the Steelers aren't really going to make a move until they have a concrete idea of what the salary cap is. And that may happen before we even know. As you know, there's insiders, and nobody's got more insiders than the actual teams who were on the inside. You know, if the Steelers have a sense that, hey, we know what the salary cap number is going to be, then they'll start making actual moves. But the reason they haven't is because they don't know yet. And I think that's what this comes down to. This isn't a every day it waits that means that Ben Roethlisberger and Kevin Colbert are growing colder towards each other. It's not like that, Wes. It's more so that they're each waiting to see what the numbers are. They've probably talked two or three times by now and said, like, hey, what number are you looking for? Hey, what number are you looking for? All right, we can meet here. If it's this, if it's this other way, we'll go that direction. If it's this way, we'll go this direction. That's what this is coming down to, Wes. This isn't a stuck figure where, you know, they're arguing with each other about money and this is gonna, and you know, throwing chairs at each other from across the room. This is they're taking their time, and they know. And again, they've got about two and a half-ish more weeks, you know, to deal with this before March 17th comes up and the new year starts. And then I'm pretty confident we'll know before then what's going on.
Now I'm just picturing Kevin Colbert or Omar Khan going all Bobby Knight and just tossing a chair across the room. Chris, sticking with contract extensions and using those to alleviate some cap concerns, could we see a Joe Haden or a Steven Nelson extension along the same vein here shortly, I should say?
I think both would actually be appropriate. This team needs cornerbacks, and their defense is really good right now. You know, I know a lot of people are saying, like, oh, they got to rebuild. It's like, well, not really, because if, you know, the defense, they still have all the pieces they need, you know, at least as the starters, you know, especially considering Alex Highsmith, if he doesn't fall off and have a sophomore slump, you're going to have a really good front four. Now, yes, they need to address depth. They need a backup edge rusher. They need probably another off-ball linebacker that can help. They need, you know, to lock down Cameron Sutton or Mike Hilton in free agency and then probably still draft a cornerback. They probably want another backup safety, you know, as well. So, like, they've got those things to address. But if you let go of Joe Haden or Steven Nelson, I've seen some people suggest cutting Joe Haden, you're putting yourself in a very slim position with cornerback. And, you know, the Steelers just got out of that situation. Right now, the emphasis of this team, Wes, is defense. You make the defense great and make them whole, and that's how you're going to win most of your games. You invest right now the draft picks in the offense to get the offensive line together and rebuild that group. But the defense is where you keep the money in. Right now, Steven Nelson, he's in his late 20s, extended. Give him two more years. It saves you some money now. It keeps him on the team. You know he's a staple in your secondary that you can just put on the outside. Joe Haden, maybe you do one more year and you say, you know what, Joe, you're playing really well. You haven't really fallen off. And again, I said this before, Joe Haden's style of play is all about positioning, outworking you, and making sure that he's being in the, you know, he's not getting beat to a certain spot. He's not a guy that relies on overt speed and outrunning you to a spot. He's going to get there before you're there. He's going to do the sound things technique-wise to keep you from taking advantage of him. And then he's going to trail you, and he's going to work over your back shoulder and knock the ball away. Those are the things that Joe Haden does, and he does them well. And those are often the things that make cornerbacks last last longer in the league, which is why I think he deserves to probably get a year extension, because also he's a leader. Like, you know, I'm sure you could attest to this, Wes. When they're at Latrobe, I can't tell you how many times I've seen it, even like in warm-up and stretch lines, where the whole cornerback group or even the whole secondary is kind of hanging out, and Joe Hayden's like right in the middle of it, leading the way, telling jokes, and everyone's kind of looking at him, and it's just like that's a guy that you want in your locker room.
I agree, my friend. I agree. Chris Carter, DK Pittsburgh Sports, and the Locked On Steelers podcast with us here on the Afternoon Delight. All of our guests brought to you by the Fox Bet app. Make the call. Download the app today. Chris, speaking of contracts, you think anything gets done with TJ Watt this offseason, or is there potential that they could kick that down the road, let him play out the last year of his deal, maybe even consider that F-word, the franchise tag, with all these, you know, everything going on with Ben and the cap crunch because of the pandemic? You think we get a TJ Watt extension this offseason? Have you heard anything along those lines?
I mean, I think it would make a lot of sense to try and get something done now, because like every year the next big edge rusher gets paid, and then every year you're sitting there like, oh man, the number for TJ is going up because that new guy, like Myles Garrett deal, Khalil Mack deal, all these guys, as soon as they get their money, it just raises the dollar signs of TJ Watt, especially since, you know, Myles Garrett hasn't had a season yet where he's had more sacks than TJ Watt. So it's like I look at that and I say, man, TJ's numbers are going up. I think that that's also a situation where the Steelers are looking at to say, okay, we want to give this guy an extension, but we don't know how many, you know, what our numbers are going to be like. So let's see how, you know, what kind of cap number we can negotiate for this year to start the contract, and then how big we can make it in the years following, or how big we have to make it in the 4 or 5 years after that, because it will be like a 4 to 5 year deal that he gets, because they want to make him a, you know, the franchise player, the face of the defense and everything moving forward. So I'd expect that. I'd expect next year to be the time to do that for Minkah Fitzpatrick, because he's absolutely another piece that you need to be a pillar of this team moving forward. But, yeah, I would expect something from TJ Watt this year. It would just make a lot of sense, again, to help them with this year's cap, and then also to make sure that, hey, we're not even worried about J.J. Watt next year, or TJ Watt next year, excuse me, all the J.J.'s and T.J.'s. And now we had to worry about K.J. with the Peloton bike this morning. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
It's just been ridiculous.
Well, that's where I was going next, Chris. Nice transition. Speaking of Watts, J.J. Watt made that decision. I mean, via his own Twitter account, he's signing with the Cardinals. I don't know, Chris. I might still need a second source to confirm. But J.J. Watt off to the desert, reuniting with DeAndre Hopkins out there in Arizona. Were you surprised at the money? 2 years, $31 million. I think 23, 24 of that. 23 guaranteed on the two-year, $31 million contract. Were you surprised that he got such a big number when you kind of look at what he's done the last 5 years? And two, like me, are you – honestly, Chris, I'm upset he didn't end up in Cleveland, because I it would have been a great storyline, and you know, you do what you and I do, and all you're really doing is rooting for the story.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, I thought Cleveland would have been great because, one, you're close to the family. It would have made a lot of sense, like on an off weekend or a long weekend.
Yeah,
or
true.
Anytime you just had, you know, like, it's an hour drive, and you get over from Pittsburgh to Cleveland or Cleveland to Pittsburgh, and then everybody's together, and it's a wonderful time. And that, to me, made the most sense is why I do that. I mean, technically, guys, he did choose Pittsburgh West, so I mean, he did accomplish that part. But no, the only thing that surprised me was, I actually didn't surprise me, because Arizona, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins was openly saying, bro, let's just do this over here, because they're treating me right. I guarantee you, they definitely had a conversation and was like, he was like, yeah, this is what's going on over here. And those two of the guys, they're two of the best players ever in the Texans franchise. I can say that because they've only existed for about two decades. That makes sense. And $15.5 million a year, that was the exact number we've been hearing from the insiders, saying that was the amount of money that's being thrown his way right now. I know there's some people out there that are saying, like, well, the Cardinals aren't a real contender. Like, I think if Kyler Murray can continue to improve and they can stay healthy and they can get a few things to work their way, I think him and Chandler Jones and Buda Baker and that defense, they could do some damage next year. It will take some serious upgrades on offense. I think they need to they'll be a team that I'll be interested if they go after a running back early on. I know Kenyon Drake's a free agent this year, and maybe they could use something like that to balance their offense. But all in all, I think it's great for J.J. because he's getting a chance to go to a franchise that has a young quarterback and has a future, and he's getting paid. I mean, $23 million guaranteed. The only reason that his market was so high is because there's so many teams that are like, I could use a stellar player on the defensive front, whether it's an edge guy or an inside guy, and he can flip between the two. And he's like a well-known leader and a good guy for your locker room. All of that plays into teams that want to compete. So it didn't surprise me that he got paid, which is why, again, I was saying the whole time, like, I doubt he comes to Pittsburgh just because his brothers play here.
Didn't come to Pittsburgh, but didn't give us the story either. I mean, thanks a lot, JJ. Chris, last one for you here, buddy. And you know I always kind of like to transition, throw you a little curveball for the last question.
Sure.
So I wanted to just ask you a quick question about hoops, but particularly, I guess, college sports, really, if we're looking at the bigger picture. We all know the transfer market has been crazy for college athletes. It just hit Pitt this past week. It got my WVU Mountaineers with Oscar Tshiebwe earlier in the season. So my question for you, just kind of as it relates to transfers in college sports, I was just wondering your thoughts on the amount of transfers that we've seen lately, particularly, like I said, in high-level basketball and high-level football. Is it one of those things that it just is what it is in the modern era? Do you think that it's a bad trend? And I don't know. I keep coming back to, while I might not like it, since coaches and athletic administrators can do the same thing, is it fair in that regard?
I think that the transfer portal, the existence and use of the transfer portal itself, is fair. What I think has become unfair has been people get on players, and sometimes I think a certain player with a certain context, depending their story, deserves criticism. Like, hey man, you could have stuck this out.
Sure,
this
sure.
wasn't, you know, this wasn't as bad as you made it seem. But there have been so many times and so many untold stories over the past decades of college sports where coaches have abused that power. And before there was a thing that they could use, a transfer portal, and it gave them as much freedom as they have now, the players would just rot away and their careers would wilt. It would hurt their psyche. I thought that was an interesting plot point in the Baller series on HBO in the second half when they get into the Rock brother. And again, that was just a TV show, but it represented what I think a lot of college players go through. You know, my uncle Ben, he played for Clarion, and you know, he had some really good years at Clarion playing football there, lined up against Jim Haslett back in the day. And you know, when my dad was coming up and he was playing high school ball, and Clarion tried to talk to him, my uncle Ben said, "No, you will not talk to these guys." Mm. He's like, "No, I know what you do to players." And again, that's Clarion. That's small, you know, PA, you know, D2 school.
Sure,
we're talking about Ohio State, you know, Florida, Alabama, like Clemson, like all these different schools that have all this kind of power. Who knows what happens in the background? I mean, people know, but I feel like the transfer portal gives some power back to students to be able to do it. And are there students that do it? They abuse it? Absolutely. And you know, I think that it's that there are certain problems where there's certain times where you're running away from a problem that where you could face up against it, and you do really well with it. I think a perfect example from Pitt's basketball, and Jeff Capel spoke about this morning on his ACC coach call, is Terrell Brown. Terrell Brown is the only holdover from the Kevin Stallings days. When he came to Pitt, you know, it was Kevin Stallings' first year. Everything was supposed to be nice, and this new coach was here. And then Kevin Stallings was a disaster. Capel came in, started bringing in his guys. Terrell Brown saw less and less time. And Brown knew that he probably wasn't going to get a lot of time this year because Pitt brought in John Hughley, and then they were using Abdul Kareem Coulibaly. But Brown stuck around, and when Hughley went out because of his issues, and Coulibaly's had some fouling issues, he's gotten more and more time. And lo and behold, this past weekend, he got his first career double-double. And Jeff Capel said he's proud of him, not just on the court, but especially off the court, for the man he's developed into. And I think that's where a lot of this goes back to, is what is your specific situation? Are you running away because you think that, you know, that you didn't get a fair shot? Are you running away because this coach is abusive? It's way too hard to just slap a label on every student athlete in college football or basketball or whatever player as to far as why you are transferring. So that's why I'm not against it in the system. I do think that it is abused by some players who just want to get their way, and they're just like, I don't like this coach, I'm getting out of here. Whereas, even in high school, like when I was in high school sports, I didn't like my coaches at times, but then they got in my face, pushed me, and I realized, you know what, they're challenging me to be better about myself. And then I understood it after the fact. And I think that's something that sometimes gets missed in today's college sports, just from, again, from being able to run away from those problems. And that's what Jeff Capel was talking about on his ACC coach call. So that's just me. But, again, I wouldn't slap a label on anything. I think that there are problems with it, but – I'd rather it be there than it not be there, because then you put the power completely in the other direction. And when you know, when you do that, you open yourself up to a lot of abuse, you know. So
great stuff as always with our buddy Chris Carter. Read his work, DKPittsburghSports.com. Subscribe to the Locked On Steelers podcast and listen to him here every Monday on ESPN Pittsburgh as well. Buddy, great stuff as always. I appreciate your time.
Same here, Wes. You take care.